Mike, I think you're logged in.
I'm here, sorry.
Okay, great. Steve Borg? I know he's here, I just saw him. Okay, I will come back to Steve.
There he is.
All right, Steve?
Here, sorry. Okay.
It's okay, Elise Darwish here. Jonathan Dharmapalin?
Yeah.
Wei-Ling Huber? Carol Eisen? Melissa Mitrovich? Josefina Alvarado Mena?
Here.
Okay. Jason Ryman?
Elise, did you get that I was here? I'm sorry, I don't know if my video, my audio was on.
Oh, Melissa. Great. I'm marking you here now.
Thanks.
Dwayne Walton? Diane Woods. Nora Cesaro Dense. Romy, I don't know if Nora's up in a lovely cabin with her family, so I don't know if she's coming or not.
Okay.
Okay, we have established a quorum. We are going to take 2.23 minutes of silence to commemorate the date Mr. Ahmaud Arbery was killed and to honor all Black lives, sorry, lost to police violence and oppression. The public is invited to join in this observance. So I'm gonna ask you to turn off your video and mute. I will do the timing. And I will call you back when the 2.23 minutes is over.
Here we are. No.
Okay, I'm gonna bring us back. Thank you, everyone. We are now going to go into closed session. We are going to be back at 7:10. We will not be late tonight so that the public knows exactly when to come back. And we will not start early. If we are done in closed session, we will take a break. So board members will now get off of this Zoom, go into our closed session Zoom, and we will see everyone back at 7:10. Thank you. Okay, so there's nothing to report out from closed session. I'm going to do a second roll call. Nora Cesaro Dents. Nora, did I say that right?
It's Cesario.
Cesario. Cesario. Okay. And you're here. Diane Woods?
Here.
Dwayne Walton? Jason Ryman? Josefina Alvarado Mena. There she is. All right, I'm just going to say I see you, Josefina. Melissa Mitrovich.
I'm here.
Carol Eisen. Waylene Huber. Jonathan Dharmapalin. Elise Darwish here. Steve Borg.
Here.
Mike Barr.
Here.
Adrian Barnes.
Here.
Okay, perfect.
Elise, sorry, has this been recording the entire time or do we need to restart recording?
I'm recording.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Nora, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Nora. Okay, so we have established a second quorum. So we are going to move into, after I go over the meeting norms, the public comments on non-agenda items. Before that, we would, is there someone who would like to make a motion to move the budget item up to be after public comment?
I would. This is Josefina.
Okay, thank you.
I make a motion to move the budget item up.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
All right, although, oh, I have to do roll call vote. Melissa.
Aye.
Josefina.
Aye.
Diane.
Aye.
Waylene. Jonathan. Elise, aye. Steve?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Adrian?
Yes.
Okay, we have The motion passes, so we will make that change in the agenda. So before that, we're going to have public comment on non-agenda items. So the meeting norms, this first part are non-agenda items. So it's not comments on COVID summary plan, committee norms, advancement, or budget. Please sign up in the chat. Put your name in there if you would like to do public comment. We're going to keep the public comment at 2 minutes. I think I will be timing it, and I will just say thank you so you know it's your 2 minutes are up, but you can obviously finish your thought. Chat comments. They are noted, but we can't always respond to them in the meeting. I personally can't keep track of what's happening in the meeting and read the chat, but they are noted. We want this to be really safe so people can disagree and say what they think and feel safe. Of course, we want all voices heard, both loud and timid. And we want this to be a safe, respectful place to comment. The meeting is being recorded and the audio is posted on the school website. So let's see what trying to find the chat. Okay, there are two public comments in chat. First off, Nora, we didn't give you a student report, but I know you've prepared one, so we'd love to have you report.
I just want to say how excited I am to work with everyone and be the student voice on the board. With the closing of the year, we saw many student events that would usually happen in person convert to Zoom and bring the community together. From shows and show tributes to end of year celebrations to graduation, students have come together to commemorate the end of a weird year. Even though it wasn't in person, the graduation ceremony still felt intimate and thoughtful. We also had the elections 2 weeks ago, which resulted in me being elected president, Sarah Schechter being voted high school vice president, and Tessa Chang being voted middle school vice president. Students finished out finals and started the first week of summer. I'm looking forward to next year and representing the students of OSA.
Thank you, Nora. We look forward to having you on the board. Maury?
Yeah, thank you, Elise. I just wanted to say that given where we are with the uprising for Black Lives, that I think has a tremendous amount of support, particularly where we live, that I lovingly point out again that our leadership team at OSA is now completely white, and given the changing demographics of students due to eliminating audition barrier and just where our nation as a whole is, that I think it's incredibly important to think outside of the box about how we can, and I respect and adore everybody on that team, so I say this with positive regard, how we can change that makeup and get creative about it and really dedicate some resources to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Tracy Thomas.
Hi, just wanted to show my face one more time and remind everyone. Hi, Tracy Thomas, alumni from 2012. I know I am on here with my fellow alum, Jordan Holly, and we continuously come to these board meetings to represent the alumni of OSA who, just as a note to our new ED, Ms. Sherman Colt, that we are still very much so wanting to be a part of the forum and the community of OSA post-graduation. I again welcome you all to reach out to either me or Jordan. My name is Tracy Thomas with an I, so you can find me on Facebook. My Gmail is tracy.thomas94@gmail.com. There is a growing conversation going on right now within the alumni community about our involvement with the OSA community as it is now. And just as Maury has pointed out, with there being a predominantly white admin population, I, as a Black woman, would like to see more of people that look like me teaching students that look like me or some variation of what I see representation at OSA or used to see as representation at OSA. So I implore you guys to find some kind of bridge, because a lot of us are trying to reach out, make some sense about what's going on with our school and how we can help improve it. Thank you.
Tracy, can you just repeat your email? It's Tracy with an I 99.
With an I dot nine, thomas94@gmail.com.
Thank you. Okay, we are, thank you. We are, any last calls for public comment? Okay, we are moving into the board presentation and advancement update.
Sorry, I thought we moved budget up.
Yes, we did. It's the same item.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I thought there was a separate one for advancement.
No, I asked that it, because it's all part of the same budget, I asked that it be combined.
Okay, let me kick this off as chair of the finance committee. Tom Nichols from Charter School Management Corp will be sharing a slide. Well, somebody will share a slide in a moment that will form the basis of the budget for which we're asking the board's approval this evening. Just by way of introduction, we're about to complete our second year of working with Charter School Management Corp. If you're wondering why you're hearing financial numbers from different people every meeting, it's because a couple meetings ago I presented and then realized that it's probably not a proper for a board member to be doing the presenting. Susan Lefkowitz of CSMC is our primary contact. She's on vacation this week or otherwise busy. So Tom's gonna be presenting. Tom works closely with Susan. As a reminder, you're gonna see some numbers here that show 3 years of projections. We are required by our charter authorizer, Oakland Unified School District, to provide multi-year projections as part of the budget packet. We always have. Every time we do second interims, first interims, we provide multi-year projections. We are only asking for approval of the first year of those projections at this point. If there's no other high-level framing questions, I'll turn it over to Tom, and if we can put the budget slide up.
I think Lisa's going first.
That's what I meant to say.
Elise had put both of these together, so we were doing fundraising first and then sliding into Tom, and then I was going to follow up.
That's why I'm not board chair.
Okay. if we could, David, if you could put the slideshow up first, right? Maybe make that full screen. All right, so first of all, I'd like to say thank you to everyone for coming to the board meeting. Tonight, I'm presenting on both fundraising and our budget for the upcoming 2020-2021 school year. And I wanted to begin with an overview of this past year and discuss our plans for the coming school year. I also would like to thank Catherine Kislaski, the director of our Office of Advancement, and her team for their work during this turbulent economic time. Even under these difficult financial circumstances, her team has been hard at work continuing to raise money for our school. I'd also like to share that in my work as executive director, I've reached out to many art schools throughout the country. We're all in similar circumstances regarding our budgets. Fundraising events for many schools were canceled when the immediate shelter-in-place, stay-at-home order was given. The nation went into a spiral downturn and educational cuts at the state level were issued. On a positive note, the OSA team, the leadership, the Office of Advancement, the finance department, the faculty, staff, and community rose to a higher ground to lend a helping hand to the school. I'd like to share some data with you that will help us review our finance as a community. Next. This is a fundraising snapshot. The advancement goal was reduced in September of our 2019-2020 school year due to losing two advancement team members. Both positions were filled in early November. The goal of $1,035,000 was presented to the parent community at the State of the School annual fund kickoff event in October of 2019. The goal increased to $1,085,000 in November when parent volunteers committed to help produce an auction component at the Heart of Oakland community events scheduled for April in 2020. You can see this in the total line under the 2019-2020 goal column. Due to the COVID-19, OSA was not able to, one, host the spring fundraising events or carry out a planned direct mail solicitation. I would like to point out that money has still come in during the COVID-19 time. The total amount on the chart for this year states 690,410. However, we're currently above 700,000 because recent donations have come in. The Office of Advancement pledged their goal for the 2020-2021 school year is $800,000, which you can see in the bottom right-hand corner. After speaking with highly qualified professional financial consultants, we were told that this was a realistic and smart goal to make. Our ceiling is much higher, and we will try and raise much more money. Next. Fundraising by source. 76% of our philanthropic support comes from individuals. These are OSA families, alumni families, board members, and outside donors. We're grateful to our families for supporting OSA. This year, we saw 60% of family participation in giving to Oakland School for the Arts. This is the first year we have seen parent contributions exceed outside donations, and this is because of how COVID-19 impacted spring solicitation cycles. For 2020-2021, the goal will be to not only strive for 100% family participation, but also increase giving from outside donors. Next. How are we fundraising during COVID-19? When we went into shelter in place, the fundraising focus shifted to donor retention, plus remaining sensitive to what's happening at the global, national, and local levels. Spring fundraising was focused primarily on major outside donors. Families were solicited via e-campaigns, but they were not our main focus. As you can see, between March and now, we've raised over $200,000. Next. One major organizational goal for next year is to support the Office of Advancement. Funds have been designated to support the growth of the department. We're specifically looking at roles that will support the development of a major gifts program. We want to develop plans to establish an OSA foundation with a board focused on fundraising. We will begin planning this summer. OSA has done quite an incredible job with an organic grassroots effort to raise funds for the school. We are now anchored at a place where we need to jette to the next level with regards to securing additional funding for the school. Next. It really is unclear how COVID-19 will impact availability of resources. We look at our individuals, our foundations, our corporations. They've all been hit pretty hard in this economic downturn. 2020 is also an election year. And since the tax reform of 2017, philanthropic giving has been decreased by individuals. Next. This is really an overview of the past, our current status, and our projection for fundraising for next year. We're now going to combine right into budget, and I'd like to introduce OSA's finance partner, CSMC, Tom Nichols, will be providing an overview. They'll be sharing our budget overview. Tom? I did see Tom here.
Tom, you're muted.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Sorry, good evening, everybody. Sorry for that. And thank you, Lisa and Mike and Elise. What you have in front of you is the proposed 2021 budget for OSA that I think the objective tonight is to have that board approved. It is a requirement that be submitted to Oakland Unified School District. And in addition to the 2021 budget, you're required to submit a preliminary forecast, or in other words, a preliminary budget for 21-22 and 22-23. And I'll speak to all three of those very briefly. But before I do that, just a little big picture, given all the uncertainty with state budget and funding for charter schools. All of you have been working very hard with all the uncertainty and with all the demands and trying to come up with a budget in some challenging circumstances. So a couple things I just want to point out regarding this budget, and this is what CSMC tells to all of our clients. Given the changes in the state economic situation and the COVID pandemic, the state has essentially said that yes, the requirement for OSA to submit a preliminary budget to Oakland Unified School District in June still stands. However, the state is recognizing that the governor and the state budget will have greater certainty over the next 2, 3, 4 months. In other words, we'll know more about what's going to be actual revenue sources and revenue funding. And therefore, the state has said that the first interim budget, which is what OSA and all charter schools do, it's a revision to the budget after the first 3 months or first quarter of operations. The message from the state is that budget revision is going to be given more credibility based upon what we anticipate to be much more clarity from the state. The reason I want to frame this way is because as hard as you've all worked, and you've worked very hard to come up with this budget, and it looks at the next 3 years, we all know, and CSMC knows with all of our clients, that beginning July 1, there is going to be new information coming down from the state, and there will be opportunities for OSA to revise and refine the budget, not only for 2021, but for the two subsequent years. And it's the regular process. It's stakeholder input and then board approved budget. So we have to sort of accomplish the board approval of the budget tonight with the information we have today, knowing that in 3 or 4 months, you will be much more equipped, as all schools will be, to really tighten the budget based upon new information from the state. So with that said, let me just give you a quick overview here, sort of from a high level and bottom line this. On the left-hand side, you have a general description of the budget summary categories. You can see the top few lines is revenue or money coming into OSA. The next section down is expenses. And then you have summary numbers at the bottom. The second column from the left, where it says 2021 adopted, actually our hope is that after tonight, we can call this adopted budget. But this is the current version of what's being proposed to the board tonight for approval. You can, if you move to the right, you can ignore the revision column. The variance column is just a restatement for now of the budget. But if you look to the right, you'll see the projected budget for 21-22 and 22-23. Let me speak very briefly about those numbers. So the way we come up with revenue for all 3 years, 2021 and those two subsequent years, we use the FICMAT calculator, which is a tool used by all schools. And based upon your anticipated enrollment and average daily attendance, that tool essentially projects most of the revenue numbers. So that's how we come up with those revenue numbers. As I said before, those revenue numbers could change between now and two subsequent years. The expenses for 21 and 22 and 22-23 basically roll over from the current 2021 budget. However, the tool we use builds in, I believe, a 3% increase. So to be very, very clear, these are very preliminary. All the expense lines have, or overall expenses, a 3% increase. That is not carved in stone. That is simply for conservative budgeting, the tool that CSMC uses. So I wanted to just talk about how those numbers are generated, and let me now just go back to the 2021 budget and finish up. So I like to bottom line it. If you go down three sections, about three quarters of the page, you will see a line that says surplus slash deficit, deficit in red. This line for both 2021 as well as the two subsequent years, projects or guesstimates, will you break even or will you have a deficit? And as you all know right now, this proposed budget for 2021 projects a deficit or a net loss of approximately $412,000. If you move to the right on that same line, you will see also that the subsequent years also project a similar deficit. The reason those, part of the reason those deficit numbers go up slightly is because of that 3% built-in increase, which is not, again, necessarily guaranteed. So the overview here, and what we're proposing to the board, is to approve the 2021 budget. At this point, it projects a deficit or a net loss of $412,168. That's really the main thing you're approving, even though what gets submitted to Oakland Unified is the other 2 years, with the understanding that you all and we all will have an opportunity to come back and improve this outlook with revisions to all three of these budgets. I'm going to stop there for now and see if that suits the board or if I can add any clarification to what I just explained.
So Tom, where I think how we've been doing it is all presentation, public comment, and then board discussion.
Right. I had one more piece right after this that will complete this area, because then we can go
Perfect.
To the public session.
I'll stand by. Thank
okay.
you.
David, could you go to the next slide? All right, so just to finish this piece out, which will culminate in the financing, this is the OSA's budget projected deficit overview. We reviewed a bit of this the last time. I just wanted to clarify where budget cuts were made. When reviewing our revenue, we can see that by adding 5 students and increasing our ADA from 93 to 95%, we will increase our revenue by $176,636. For those of us who are not familiar with school budgets, the ADA is our per pupil allowance that's given to schools when students attend school. Our attendance is pretty darn good at OSA. However, if we set a goal of 95% attendance rate, we'll receive additional funding. Also, the next line item, the added property tax income. When landlords rent to schools, they get a tax break, and we are receiving a reimbursement from this tax break of $27,800. The reduced advancement revenue from $900 to $800 for next year is the $100,000 that you see. And our total revenue is $104,436. Quickly, when we're reviewing expenses, if we can scroll down, thank you. Due to some changes in the 1100 position, the expenses for salaries for $101,024 and expenses for benefits for $19,387 are listed. Our operational cuts that we've previously discussed is $247,697. And our operational increases, there's a district oversight fee, and we also wanted to, our teachers will be paid to update and design the remote learning plan for the 2020-2021 school year. So I have designated funds to provide a stipend to each teacher working on this team. So the total decrease in expenses is $353,69. These adjustments take us from a previously discussed deficit of $869,673 to a projected deficit of $412,168. We applied for and received a PPP loan. As Mike Barr has repeatedly shared, it's a loan until it's forgiven. 80% of the loan is $1.2 million and divided over a 3-year term will give us roughly $400,000 a year, which is basically the sum of our deficit. I'm recommending as Executive Director of OSA that this budget be approved by the board for the 2020-2021 school year.
Is that, so Tom and Lisa, you're both done?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Public comment on the advancement and budget, please put your name in. Maury?
Thank you. I'm sorry, I started coughing just as you called on me. Under operations and housekeeping, as well as food server, I mean, the food server sounds like, is that a reduction or a layoff? And operations and housekeeping, are those positions that are being eliminated? I guess I'm unsure in those categories.
Okay, very, very good question. The OUSD food server, no, all of this does not touch any jobs and it does not touch any programming. These were operational costs that we had savings through our maintenance. So the OUSD food server was paying someone from OUSD to come and serve our kids. That was part of the budget. We are still holding money for food so that we can still serve our population of students who are in free and reduced lunch.
Thank you.
Jordan, Holly?
Maury just asked my question, so thank you.
Oh, good. Karen Morfin.
I just had a question regarding how to increase, or if this has been budgeted anywhere in the increase of income. And that is, do we expect to see more students coming from Title I schools, and that we may be able to receive additional funding per pupil than the standard?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Thank you for asking that. At this point in time, the allotted amount that we are working on is just the ADA piece. And until we get records on each of our students with regards to whether they might fall under a category that might bring in additional funding into the school, we won't know that until we see all the records.
Can I reframe that? I know this is supposed to be sort of one way, but I'm guessing, Tom, I'll look for you to confirm that the assumption for the budget for next year and the two subsequent years assumed the same percentage of free reduced lunch kids being served. And to Lisa's point, when we get data that changes, it will modify that. But I'm guessing it didn't assume a significant change in the percentage.
That's correct. That's a standard practice. And once we have updated CalPAD student demographic information, census information at the beginning of the year, that funding will catch up once those reports are certified. Yep. So essentially twice a year, the official reports are certified, which triggers that unique, or in this case, Title I funding. You're correct, Mike.
Mike, thank you for reminding me that we're not supposed to answer in public comment.
I mean, I'm fine. I actually like the flow here, but
But I do think they're great questions. So I don't know, the whole chat, public comment. One more public comment, Allison Hurley.
If you're not supposed to answer in public comment, then I think it'll be awkward, but I basically just had a question about space rental cuts and what that referred to exactly, and also if it's for the full school year or just part of the school year with the anticipation of only one semester of remote learning potentially. I know there's a lot of questions just in general.
Okay, as long as we've answered the other one, and that was our last public comment, do you want to go ahead and answer it, Tom or Lisa?
Sure. This budget still has all of our spaces and our rentals.
Thank you.
Okay, we have one more. Becky Flanagan.
Hey, everyone. Tom, could you put up the previous slide? Is that possible?
I made that one.
That one, yeah. There were references to the PPP loan, and I just wanted to know on what line item that was included under revenue.
Sure.
And then my second question is, where is the fundraising included in the revenue line items?
Great. Thanks. So let's do the more simple one first. The fundraising would typically be in local revenue, on the local revenue line. So can you see that on the document there, local revenue. So local revenue is local fundraising, grants, things that OSA is doing independent of state or federal funding. Regarding PPP, and let me explain why you don't really see it here because of the actual accounting treatment. And this is based upon what we know from the June 5th PPP Flexibility Act or the recent legislation. Essentially, the OSA has received or receives the actual cash or the funds this year in 1920. It's likely not recognized, or it will not be recognized as revenue on the financial statements until next year, 2021. And that is because it is not recognized as revenue until the forgiveness happens, if that makes sense. So that's why you're not seeing it as revenue here yet, because that's not how it's a treat. It's just not how it's accounted for. Now, once the money comes to OSA, that $1.4 million, it is booked as a loan payable on the balance sheet, right? And then once forgiveness is processed and forgiveness is granted, then it moves into revenue on the financials, and that's likely going to be 2021. For us to show that here, conceptually wouldn't be an appropriate treatment, but I think conceptually Lisa talked about the board's plans overall, how to offset next year and the two subsequent years deficit using chunks of that PPP money.
Yeah, if I can just be a little more blunt.
Mike, we're going to jump into a board discussion now because there's no more public comment.
Great. So, I would like to lead board discussion with a perhaps a more blunt answer. We have not assumed any PPP proceeds in this budget. The $9.8 million shown of revenue does not assume any revenue from PPP. So I want to be crystal clear that the PPP is a loan. At this point, it will be treated as a loan until it becomes something other than a loan. We will use the PPP. So the PPP funds will be good news when, they are expected to convert to a grant at some point next year. Okay. The loan amount was roughly $1.5 million. It's prudent to estimate that 80% of that will be forgiven. We can't assume 100% because all the calculations are changing literally on a, you know, every other week sort of basis. So we've been talking in the finance committee about assuming that we will get $1.2 million of good news next year. That good news will allow us to absorb and or weather a $400,000 loss next year. But just be crystal clear, we're not using PPP funds to pay for something next year. We're using PPP funds now and have already used the bulk of them to pay for salaries. It's the good news that would come from it that allows us the flexibility to propose a budget that has a $400,000 deficit next year. I have a question for Lisa. Lisa, you mentioned in your development slides that 80% of the OSA Creates funds were from major donors. I'm curious how many of those were new to OSA funding or whether they were sort of repeat clients, if you will.
Some of them were repeat clients. Some of them were people that saw the need for the school and then reached out with a further donation, great, which was very nice.
Great. Thank you.
Questions, comments from the board?
Yeah, I think this is a conservative budget. I feel comfortable with it, both because of the PPP, because of the reserves, because of, you know, a conservative approach to the fundraising. You know, we want to be pushing up our fundraising numbers and are focused on doing that. And so I feel comfortable with this budget. And I also think we should research this issue of to what degree responses to public comment are permissive. I think they are. I just quick Googled it, as long as we don't go off the agenda topic. But we should, you know, check with our attorney, obviously, because it does make for good conversation.
Definitely. Thank you.
I'd like to call the question.
Oh. Okay. Would someone like to make a motion?
I would like to move for approval of the budget as presented for the 2020-21 school year.
I'll second it, Elise.
Thank you. Okay, roll call vote. Diane?
Aye.
I don't think Dwayne has joined us. Josefina?
Aye.
Melissa?
You're muted, Melissa.
Aye.
Thank you. Wei-Ling?
Aye.
Jonathan?
Aye.
Elise? Aye. Steve?
Yes.
Aye. Mike?
Yes.
Adrian?
Aye.
Great, the motion passed. We have a budget.
Thank you, Lisa, and your team for the work on this. This has come a long way since you last saw it, when it was a deficit of $869,000. And I know a ton of work went into that. Kimberly, Lisa, the whole team, thank you.
Yes, commendations to the team for all the hard work, Elise, and probably make a note of that and appreciation from the board.
Yes, we definitely will. Lisa walked into quite the position.
Here's welcome to OSA.
And a huge deficit. Okay, we are moving on to
Elise, this is Josefina. I just wanted to make a couple comments about the development report before we move on. So one thing that I think I did not see in the development report, but I think does definitely need to be specifically referenced, is ramping up of the grant writing capacity. You know, we've already seen a lot of additional resources made available during the pandemic have been in the form of competitive grants. And so I think it's really important that we build our capacity to just increase the grant writing, both in terms of foundations, but also in terms of government grants, state and federal, to kind of better position ourselves. Also in terms of the OSA Foundation idea, I just want to be on the record that, you know, I think it's very problematic as a development strategy. Considering that it would require supporting two administrations, one to run the foundation and then the one that runs the school. Also, I think it's a very difficult environment economically to think about creating a new foundation during this time. And then I think it just could compete for the resources that could go directly to the school. So I wanted to just put that on the record.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't see your hand raised on the chat. Other comments from the board on development or the other finance?
Elise, I'm going to have to excuse myself. I have.
Okay.
Thank you all. Take care.
Thank you, Diane. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. There's one item, it's the minutes. Is there any discussion or comments or amendments to it? Okay, can I have a motion to approve it?
So moved, this is Steve.
Thank you. Second?
Second, this is Adrian.
Thank you, Adrian. Okay, roll call vote. I'm trying to mix up who I start with. In case you're wondering. So it's not always Adrian.
We're on to you.
Yeah, okay. Melissa.
Aye.
Josefina.
Aye.
Diane just left. Wei-Ling.
Aye.
Jonathan.
Yes.
Elise. Yes. Steve.
Yes.
Adrian.
Aye.
Mike.
Yes.
Okay, the consent agenda is approved. COVID summary plan, Ms. Douglas.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for putting that up there, David. Good evening, board. As you're likely aware, the governor passed Executive Order N5620, which addressed the ability of schools to meaningful annual planning and engage stakeholders during the COVID-19 pandemic. While the executive order issued some timeline and approval waivers for the Local Control and Accountability Plan, which is also known as the LCAP, It also added the requirement for schools instead to adopt this COVID-19 written report, which you see before you. And it explains to the community the changes to program offerings that we have made in response to school closures and the impact of the closures on students and families. We were strongly encouraged to be brief in filling this out and to include answers of no more than 300 words. So this document that you see is thus our brief description of the changes to our program offerings, a brief description of how we're meeting the needs of English learners, foster youth, and low-income students, and a brief description of the steps we have taken to continue delivering high-quality distance learning opportunities, as well as school meals and referrals to student supervision. This document was written collaboratively by the leadership team, based each on our lens of expertise. And assuming the board approves this document, it'll be submitted in conjunction with our annual budget to our authorizer, Oakland Unified, and by them to the Alameda County Office of Education, and will also be posted on the homepage of our website. Does anyone have any questions?
You're muted, Elise, but you look like you might have called on me, so I will ask.
No, I didn't call on you. I asked for public comment.
Again, that's why I'm not board chair.
Elise, this is Tom. Would it be appropriate for me or to Romy to make a brief comment?
You are public. Yes, you may make a comment.
Thank you. Thank you. Romy, thanks for that. And just for purposes of the board and just to highlight some of the things Romy said, due to the pandemic, the state put the normal LCAP requirements and annual cycle on hold. And there's going to be legislative action in the next few months to where the 2021 LCAP, the due date, is extended from what you're used to July 1st to, I believe, the middle of December. This is all in concert with when the state will know more about the budget. And the intent is that OSA's board and stakeholders will better understand the needs given the new health and safety requirements of COVID. At the same time, the state better informs OSA about the budget outlook. So that's why all of these timelines and requirements have been pushed forward. It's almost a reset to the entire LCAP process that all schools have been required to do every year. And that is why this is simply a narrative and there's no expectation that expenses or projections will be in this document. Just wanted to add that for the board's information.
Thank you. Any other public comment? If you want to put your name in the chat. Leon Jones.
Yay! I'm back.
You've never left.
Yes. I just wanted to sort of make a quick public comment around, because back when, you know, I'm glad to say this out loud, being an alum, back when I was at OSA 2 weeks ago, serving as the president, I know Ms. Romy and I discussed about stakeholder engagement around the LCAP. So I don't know if this question can be answered, but the engagement between the stakeholders won't happen until later for the 2020-2021 LCAP due to the fact of this reset. Just wanted to throw that out there because I know that there are stakeholders in this community that really want to be involved in things like this. So I just wanted to sort of ask that as a clearance for people that are attending this meeting.
Absolutely. Stakeholder engagement is a really vital part of an LCAP. It wouldn't be an LCAP without input from the community, and absolutely, they did just sort of push everything back because of shelter in place, and we're expecting to do that in the future. And this document, I want to clarify, is available on our website along with all of the other board materials.
Any other public comment? Okay, board comment. Mike.
Does Mr. Barr have no comment?
He's on mute.
Sorry. I thought my question was so stupid. I was getting those looks for that reason. I just clarify. So this document represents what we've done at the end of the 1920 school year, or what we're going to do 2021, because we're doing things different than others in 2021. I'm curious. Are we going to do this again? And...
It's a retrospective.
Okay. Thank you.
However, if I may add, the assumption from everything we're hearing from the state is this retrospective remains real in many respects moving forward, so that by the time this fall OSA does the 2021 LCAP, much of what is in this document, I anticipate for all of our clients, will be the framework for the 2021 LCAP.
I have a question. Is it possible to include an attachment to this document? Because I think it might be good to attach the Alameda County Public Health Order requiring the closures in Alameda County, and with the specific guidelines for the county in which we reside, just something in terms of preserving the record.
I'll inquire. It is a template that was given to us that we are returning to Alameda County. So I will see, I will inquire and whether that's something that we can attach. Thank you. I'll take a note of that.
Okay. Okay. It would be the Alameda County Public Health Department order.
Okay. Is there a new due date on the LCAP?
What I'm hearing, Tom, you look like you're ready to answer. It's looking like December.
December 15th. And that is a due date that is posted and established, and yet the actual explicit requirements and format of the LCAP that's due December 15th has not been finalized by the state.
Other board comments, questions, discussion? This is something we're voting on.
One question, Elise. We are voting that this is the submission we're going to make?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
move to approve. Sorry.
Great, who was that?
There yet. Wai-Ling.
Wai-Ling, you're doing a motion?
Yes.
Second.
Mike is seconding. Okay, let's take a vote again. Diane left. Let's see. Josefina?
Aye.
Melissa left. Wai-Ling?
Yes.
Jonathan?
Yes.
Me? Yes. Steve?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Adrian?
Yes.
Great. Motion passes. Okay, we have one more, two more things. Committee norms. So, Josefina, we got your slides, and David was going to put them up.
Okay, great. There's just a few slides here, and this is not an action item. I'm hoping that this can be an action item at our next meeting. But basically, I'd like the board to discuss the rules and procedures for the committees. The first two slides here are directly from the current bylaws and speak to the organization of both the standing board committees and the advisory committees. So there's the language there. The second slide, where you see section 3, meetings and actions of committees, outlines the the specific actions in the bylaws. So there's not a lot of procedures outlined in the bylaws, and as a new board member, I have found it challenging to try to figure out, based on the existing written material, how the committees are operating. And so I think in the interest of creating even greater transparency around government, greater engagement of the different stakeholders, that it would be a really strategic move to be more concrete about how the committees operate, and how they operate with the other structures here at OSA. So I don't have specific rules that I'd like to propose in this presentation, but I did identify several areas where I think it would be very strategic to create some rules and procedures. And the first area would be agenda creation. I think it's important that we clearly define how items are agendized for board committees. I think the second area is the area of meeting notices. I think it's also important that we clearly define how meetings and materials will be noticed and the timeline for standing board committees and advisory board committees. This is something that I think would be important to go over every school year, since we have new people coming into the OSA community. The third area is committee membership. I think it is also important to publish board committee membership. I haven't seen that anywhere. I don't know if it exists in a document, but I think, again, it's important to know who's representing on the different committees. And then the area of minutes. The bylaws do require minutes to be taken at the standing board the committees, but also I think it's important that advisory board meetings also take minutes and then the minutes are published. I think this will help us move different agenda items forward and clearly be able to monitor the progress in terms of the implementation items that we're responsible to provide oversight for, and to ensure that there is participation across stakeholder groups. This is a really important component of creating greater equity within our OSA community. And then the last area is coordination. I think there needs to be a definition of the process by which we're coordinating between board committees, advisory boards, and then the greater OSA board of directors. So these are the areas where I really feel like we need to create some rules and procedures, and I think this will help facilitate the board governance, but also greater engagement of all the stakeholder groups at OSA, greater transparency, and ultimately greater equity within our community, and it will help hold all of us accountable towards the goals of the school and our charter, and our new charter. So that's my presentation.
I'm going to do public comment.
You're muted.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to do public comment, and then Josefina, do you want to talk about and start brainstorming different ones for these? Do you want us thinking about them and come back with ideas?
Sorry, I was having difficulty unmuting myself. I mean, I think if we have a little bit of time left on the agenda, we could start the brainstorming. And then come back with some ideas that we could vote on. I think some of the rules and procedures should actually be incorporated into the bylaws officially. So this is also part of the bylaw development conversation that I think, you know, is also on the board agenda. But I think, you know, we need to move this piece forward as quickly as possible, because I think it will just facilitate our work.
Okay, I'm going to take public comment, and then we'll have kind of an open conversation about it. So I have two public comments. Maury?
Yeah, thank you. And what I want to say is the slide on proposed rules for committees, and I understand this isn't has to be fleshed out more, but I want to thank you, Josefina, because I think those really reflect kind of the values and principles that the APT board is looking for as we collaborate with the OSA board around transparency and just clarity on roles and materials out ahead of time so folks can be informed about participation. And so I would just say that my hope, and I'm excited to think that perhaps the board is moving in this direction. So thank you for your intentionality around fleshing this out.
Thank you. Jordan, Holly.
Hi. First of all, Josefina, I just wanted to say thank you for creating this. And board members, thank you all for all of your hard work.
I just wanted to make a quick comment because I've seen it in the chat a couple times and I've had this thought as well. I'm not sure exactly how this works, but I would love to have the slides and presentations like put up beforehand or even after we talk about it. I just think it's kind of hard to follow along and read and kind of internalize the information. I think it could be really helpful to have it as we're looking at the agenda, if it's like a link attached so we can take the time to look through it. And that way, if we have any questions, we'll be able to ask them during the public comment. That'll just give a better opportunity for the public comment to be more, I can't think of the word, but it would be beneficial to have that and for people to give their public comment and we could all be on the same page and working together. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we are now on to board discussion.
Elise, this is Steve. I think there's merit in having consistency in how we approach our committee work, both in terms of how it's structured, how we conduct the committees, how we share that information. I think we have to balance that with what is the administrative burden, because it's a volunteer board and we don't have a lot of administrative support, and I think it's work that should be done. Typically, we would do this type of work in our annual strategic planning retreat, but under COVID, it doesn't look like we're going to be doing that. So we may want to look to create another forum to do that. I'm not sure the board meeting is the place to do it, but so I like the idea. We just need to be careful that we don't over-engineer it, given the administrative burden.
Do we have, I guess, Mike or Adrian or Josefina, have you seen bylaws that have samples we can kind of pull from that go more depth into what the advising and the advisory and board committees do? Do we have any models?
Yeah, I can take a look. Off the top of my head, I don't recall. I'll let Adrian or Kimberly respond. I have a couple questions or thoughts.
That's something we can ask for from legal. Would they have some samples that they could give?
Or CSMC may have some they can share. I mean, they're public documents.
I'll also look into that as well to see if I can provide some examples. A couple clients in particular may have over the last year, 18 months, done similar refinement. So let me see what I can find.
Yeah, got it. Just a couple thoughts. Number one, I would love to get clarity from somebody legal and smarter than me about whether we're required to have an audit committee. So there's something called the California Nonprofit Integrity Act of 2004 that states very clearly that all nonprofits with revenue more than $2 million are required to have a finance committee, which we do, and also required to have an audit committee and an annual audit, and the audit committee can't be comprised more than 50% members of the finance committee. The reason there's a distinction between those two is to create a separation and internal controls around the finance committee is responsible for publishing the financial statements, for them to also review the audit that's been completed of those is not necessarily ideal. I've heard from several organizations interpret that to mean that we're not required to have an audit committee. We do not have an audit committee. I would just like to get some clarity around that as we move forward. I'm all for a discussion on this. I don't think I'm prepared to do so tonight because I prefer to take an approach of, what is the issue that we're trying to solve? Do we agree as a majority of the board that's the issue we're trying to solve? And do we agree as a majority of the board that these changes solve that? I think we can all work towards that. I'm fully for more transparency, but I just want to make sure I'd like to digest it more and, really understand what the goal of this is.
Other thoughts, other ideas?
Wei-Ling has her hand up.
Oh. Yeah, thank you, Josefina, for putting this together. I think these are all really important things that we need clarification on. I have a question and then a comment. So the question is, what are all the standing committees? And then how does one get appointed to a committee? I've been on the board for 3 months and I still don't know how to get appointed to a committee. So I don't know if that's something that we don't have a policy on and we need to add it to this list that Josefina put together, or if it's something we do have a policy on, I just don't know it.
So I believe the standing committees are finance, advancement, governance, and then audit.
But so, I don't think we have an audit committee.
Well, we have one on our list.
Okay.
There's just no one on it. I mean,
so I'm just like clarity of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to get that from legal. So those are our standing committees. We have been, and we are getting better, we have been lax about, and I have a list of who's on what, about voting people on, doing the minutes, having regular meetings. So even, you know, I think the first step is just to get better about regular standing minutes for those meetings as we work on also blowing these other things out. Because, I mean, technically, I believe we're supposed to vote people on. So in August, or when we have our next board meeting, I'll bring forward who's on the committees, and then we'll vote everyone on, and then...
Elise, that's historically, that's not how this board has operated. I'm not saying that shouldn't be the case, but historically, that's not how it's been with this board, at least the 6 years that I've been on it, up until as of late.
Okay, so do you know what the bylaws, I thought the bylaws said you to be voted on.
I don't actually, that's a good question.
The bylaw sections that relate to committees are in the slide. So if you go back to the first content slide, that's the actual language from the bylaws.
So you don't have to be voted on. Or at least it doesn't say.
Yeah, we should look at the other parts of the bylaws to make sure that it's all, yeah, through the full thing. So yeah, I agree with Steve's point. We've been a little looser about it. We sort of appointed Adrian. Thank you for accepting the appointment, Adrian, and thank you for your contributions to finance. But yeah, I agree that August gives us a chance to make some movement on this, get aligned on this, and tighten it down. We can certainly continue to do more.
Yeah, so I'll definitely bring the standing committees, and we'll figure out at the next meeting who wants to be on what as we work through these other, how do we want to act, how do we want to do agendas, meetings, other things.
I guess my comment is just that I think that the committees, you know, that there probably is a ability to, as long as committees are minority, that they don't have to be noticed and they maybe don't have to fall under the Board Act. But I think as a board, we should adopt a policy of as much transparency and openness as possible. And my observation has been a lot of the real decision making and sort of thoughtful digging into questions actually happen in the advisory committees. And that makes a lot of sense because we're a big board. We really can't have, you know, 13, 14 people really digging into every detail of every decision. But it shouldn't be a situation where, you know, a few people just get together and to make important decisions about the school, and then they sort of, you know, there's an expectation that that will just get rubber stamped at the main board meeting. We should have equal amount of transparency so that members of the public can be part of it. And I really do think we have a lot of, you know, smart, capable people who are part of this community, and we'll have a lot of good ideas. And the more we have people participating in, you know, the meaningful decisions of the school, which happen often in committee, the better off we're going to be.
Okay, so I'm hearing lots of agreement that we need to flush this out. I've also made some committees, some commitments around the standing committees and finding out about the audit committee. Other thoughts? Josefina, anything specific you want to ask for tonight?
I mean, I do think for tonight, the biggest question is just define the next step so that way this moves forward. So, I mean, I'm happy to, do a little bit more work on this and bring back some proposed language, if that's helpful, to the next board meeting. If people have samples, I'd be happy to look at them. You can send them to my OSA email. I think it doesn't have to be overly complicated, but I think we do need to clearly articulate how we're going to do this work, and then be consistent in the implementation of those rules and procedures. And so, I don't think it has to be overly complicated or administratively burdensome, but we do have to find the right balance.
Great. Okay, so Tom, if you have any samples, you can send them either directly to Josefina or to Romy or me, and we'll make sure they get to her. We don't have any official regular meetings in July. The board takes July off. I believe, are going to have some special meetings with around COSAT negotiations. So I am going to work on a calendar to send to everyone around our regular meetings that will start in early August. And then also at that time, Josefina, by then, if you have some draft language, I think that would be really helpful for us to respond to.
Okay, great, I can do that.
Great. Okay, so Kimberly, who has been one of the tireless workers on this budget, and we are really appreciative of you, also has a new item for us.
Hi, everyone. So the 1920 school year is the final year of our current auditor's contract. So we're just notifying the board that we are beginning the search for a new auditing firm, or could be the firm that we currently have. We currently have four proposals out. So once those proposals come back to me, I will put all the information together and present it during the Finance Committee meeting. Finance Committee members will review the information. I'll reach back out to the different audit firms to see if there's a need for further clarification. All of the firms are, of course, well-versed in charter school finance. I reached out to CSMC for names of firms that they work with also. And so once we have more information and the Finance Committee narrows it down, we'll bring it before the board for an official vote. So we just wanted to give everyone a heads up that we're beginning that process.
Okay, thank you, Kimberly. Thanks everyone who has hung on, stayed on with us.
Sorry, do you want to see if there's public comment for that? And then I have a comment.
I thought it was notification. Okay.
Well, so I
Well, wait, let me do public comment. Is there any public comment on the notification of a search for an annual fiscal auditor?
It's always a popular one. What do we got?
Okay. Oh, wait. Oh. Kieran, yes.
I just want you to understand as a CPA that, changing CPA firms right now on a year of crisis, your first year is going to be extremely expensive if you try to switch right now. I just throwing it out there. I'm not saying that, those proposals may not be accurate, but always the first year of an audit, the prices tend to be higher than the regular years. So as we're trying to be conscious with our budget, let's have that in the back of our minds that the first year that when you switch to another CPA firm, your expenses may actually double for your audit.
So we don't, are we commenting?
Let me take Katie's public comment, okay, and then we can answer that question in board discussion.
Hi, I just wanted to publicly thank Kim. I think she works incredibly hard and is very humble about the work she does, and I really appreciate her.
Thank you, Katie.
Okay, Kimberly, do you want to answer or respond to the...
Yeah, just really quickly. So we don't necessarily have to change firms per se. But since we are to the point where we have to get a new contract, we just feel, you know, we need to do our due diligence and put it out there and talk to people about the needs of the school and what our audits require, just so that we have as much information as possible to present to the board to let them know that we did do a search.
Mike.
Yeah, I just want to say for the record that until I have clarity on whether I can be on both the audit committee and the finance committee, I'm not comfortable in my role as finance committee chair taking action on an audit. I'm happy to be a thought partner to Kimberly one-off, but and I'll leave it to you and Adrian to as other members of the finance committee to determine, you know, what role you want to play there. And I don't want to hang Kimberly out to dry, but I'm just concerned about the potential intersection of the two. So I just need to flag that.
I'll email our lawyers, Mike.
Thanks. Thank you, Kimberly. Mm-hmm.
Any other board comments on our auditor or finding anyone? Okay, thank you everyone. I am adjourning the meeting.
Thanks everybody.
Thank you, have a good night.